Welcome everyone to the KPFA local station board music town hall. I'm Carol Wolfley, chair of the meeting. This is our first KPFA music town hall. And as we move into more community outreach and fundraising, we especially want to recognize and support KPFA's music. It's 58% of all KPFA programming. Thank you. And Candace, will you go ahead and take roll?
Rabab Abdul Hadi.
She requested excused absence.
Thank you.
Which she should have the email for.
Oh, I didn't see it, sorry. Emma Auer?
She might not be able to make today. She said she might need an excused absence if she doesn't show up because she's got a conflict. So we'll see if she can show up, but she asked for excused absence.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Virginia sure. Browning? Virginia Browning?
Finally, I can hear now. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Virginia present. Michael Chang? Michael, I saw you.
Here.
Michael present. Cheryl Davila? Cheryl Davila?
Present.
Cheryl present. Fred Dodsworth? Fred Dodsworth? Anthony Fest?
Here.
Anthony present. Sherry Gendelman has an excused absence. Christina Huggins?
I'm here.
Christina present. Zach Caldbeer?
Here.
Zach present. Carlos Cohan?
Present.
Carlos present. Steve Kukala?
Present.
Steve present. Philip Maldery? Philip Maldery? Kathy Pico? Kathy Pico? Allegra Thompson?
Here.
Allegra present? Andrea Turner? Andrea Turner? Mark Van Landewit? Mark Van Landewit? Richard Walensky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Richard present. Stan Woods?
Present.
Stan Woods present. Candace Schott present. Carol Wolfley? Carol? You know you're here.
Present. Sorry, I was muted.
That's all right. Fred Dodsworth? Does anyone know if he was coming or not? Philip Maldery? Kathy Pico? Andrea Turner? Mark Van Landewit? So we have 13 present and 3 excused and several that we're waiting on, I think, that were planned to come. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that I'll call again later, or I'll check him in when I see them.
How many do we have, Candace?
There are 13 present. 3 excused, and then 5 not here yet, I'm assuming.
Yes, and Fred just said that he will be joining in a little bit.
Should I mark the others excused until?
Philip's in the waiting room. Here he is.
Okay.
Do you want to call Philip?
Philip Maldery?
He's in mute, but
just found it.
Okay.
Obscured. The address for the Zoom seems obscure.
Hmm.
Thank you. Cheryl has her hand up. Cheryl, did you have a point of order?
Yeah. Why won't you make people absent until they're present and then put the time that they came in?
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Let's see. I think that, Richard, you had a comment?
Yeah. I was having trouble finding the Zoom link because it was sent under Carol Wolfley's name instead of under KPFA local board name. And people who might be searching for it and don't realize that it was sent out under a different email might have had trouble, because I did until I did a search.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's see.
Carol, I believe Anthony has his hands up too.
Anthony.
Yes. Not at the moment, no.
Okay. I do.
The other Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony Bonet had his hand up.
Right.
And Anthony, I'm gonna lower your hand.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right. So I want to introduce Antonio Ortiz. He is the, so the agenda for this meeting is that we will be starting with presentations, which will be followed by breakout rooms, which will be followed by music selections submitted from the community and KPFA staff. And I want to send a special welcome to all the KPFA staff members who've joined us today. It's great to see you, music producers. So thank you. Now I want to introduce Antonio Ortiz. He is the interim general manager of KPFA, and he is going to talk to us a little bit about KPFA music and introduce a video from Mike Biggs. Go ahead, Antonio.
Thank you, Carol. So I want to talk about two things before I start talking about the music director and the music department. The first thing is the holiday fund drive is going to be coming up. That's going to start on Tuesday, December 9th to Friday, December 12th. We have a goal of $350,000 for that, just to let you all know. And then the station's going to have a long set of holidays coming up. So during the Thanksgiving weekend, staff will be taking off the Thursday and Friday of that week. And then coming up at the end of the year, during the winter holiday, starting on Christmas Eve all the way through January 1st, the station is going to be taking, we'll have station holidays. So there's going to be limited staff, at the station during those times. Just to give you guys a heads up on that. Another thing that I want to do, which I just didn't think about until right now, is that I would love if we could just have a moment of silence for Jack Foley. Just found out last week that he had passed. Some people had heard about it in different ways and were kind of feeling, feelings were being stirred up that the station wasn't doing anything. But I just wanted to let everyone know that the family had asked for us to not make any public announcements and to wait a little bit. And so that's what we did. So if anyone had any confusion about what was going on, you know, apologies in advance, but we were respecting what the family had requested of us. So if we could just have, like, you know, 10 seconds of silence and just pay homage to Jack, wherever he is at right now. Thank you. I know I'm going to miss Jack. He and I had some brief conversations about how we like to make noise with our feet. He was a tap dancer and I used to do country clogging. So, I will miss his presence, greatly. Okay, so then moving forward to keep this meeting light, I would like to introduce a video of the interim music director. For any of you who don't know, in March of 2024, Mike Biggs became the interim music director, and the goal was to strengthen communication and provide support for the station's music department, which comprises close to 60% of our programming. Mike began his journey in radio by joining the award-winning organization Youth Radio in 1994, and he began working there as well as volunteering simultaneously at Calix from 1996 to 2004. So Mike joined KPFA in 2003 as an associate producer for Hard Knock Radio and as technical director for Flashpoints in 2012. He has a deep music background, and he's a respected nightclub DJ throughout the San Francisco Bay Area, and I trust that he's going to help us get the music department to be promoted more into the local community and get more outreach that way. So I would like to go straight into his introduction or into his video about who he is.
Okay, one sec.
Hey everybody, my name is Mike Biggs. I am the KPFA Interim Music Director, and I'm just here to talk about a couple things, some accomplishments that I've made happen in 2025, as well as a couple hopefuls for 2026. First up, I created a KPFA concert calendar, which airs nightly. I produce it. It's a weekly concert that keeps listeners informed on what artists are playing at local venues. And again, it airs nightly every night. Then we have the digital music library moving us into the 21st century. We still, of course, get physical media sent to us, and we play physical media still, but it's important to have a digital music library that's accessible for all of our DJs in-house to use on the air. And, you know, it's a tool that we will continue to use, and I'm adding new music every single day, so it's a growing library. Outreach, something very important, outreach. Started up a collaboration with a local business called Donkey and Goat Winery, to basically have KPFA DJs play music at their first Friday block party. It's very family friendly, a really fun, safe environment, and Donkey and Goat are good folks. They're local. They love KPFA. We also did a collaboration with Stern Grove this last year, and two of our DJs, in fact, opened up at Stern Grove for some of the performers in their summer concert series. And we also managed to have a live broadcast of one of the concert series events, which was Michael Franti performing at Stern Grove. So we did that as a live broadcast on KPFA. That was really cool. Another thing I did with my position is content creation, and started writing a monthly music column for KPFA.org. If you haven't been on the website, it's up there. It's called So, which is Songs to Obsess Over and Over, because I'm obsessed with lots of great new music. I also write occasional pieces, articles on music-related topics, and trying to encourage more of our KPFA DJs to really contribute to the site and make it pop, because we need to have more social media presence and just a web presence in general. As for 2026, pretty much what I want to do is more of outreach. I would definitely like to do more outreach work, maybe have some of our DJs appear at like different record stores or, you know, restaurants or any place where you can pit a DJ to play music for a few hours to the people and promote KPFA in the process, because that's the whole point of, you know, just getting our name out there, getting our name in the community. It's a great thing. And of course, more content creation. I really want to do stuff with YouTube, like create playlists and have the good old algorithm find KPFA. So say if you're looking up James Brown on YouTube, and you might find a playlist curated by our very own, say, Ricky Vincent, and it will say KPFA's Ricky Vincent presents 10 James Brown songs you should know. That could help the algorithm boost us up as well, because people might find it. They're like, hey, what's KPFA? And hopefully engage in our little universe and check us out. So other than that, I want to do a couple more cosmetic things. Like, I'd like to build a vinyl library in our music room, which is currently full of CDs and has a small amount of vinyl. So that's like a cosmetic thing I'd like to do. So maybe we can get more of our DJs to go in there, grab vinyl, play it, and, you know, add more vinyl to that list as well. So that's more or less about it. For now, I'm just really happy to be in this position and looking forward to doing a lot more in the coming years and, just make an impact at what I do. Very quick bit about me. I've been here since 2003. Started out as a intern for Hard Knock Radio, worked my way up and was working for them. And then, of course, Flashpoints as well as the technical director. And now I'm doing interim music director, which is really a dream position of mine because I'm a DJ. I'm a huge music nerd. And I hope that you also check out my show Sunday nights called Living in the Now, which comes on KPFA. So, yeah. Happy to be here and hope everyone, if you have any questions, you can always email me and we'll take it from there. All right. Peace.
And that is Mike Biggs. He couldn't make it today. So we recorded him in our video production room, which we are slowly working on and making making my dream into a reality of doing video production at KPFA. Does anyone have... Carol, do I just open it up to questions or I don't, I'm sure. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Go ahead and open it up to questions if people have questions.
Yeah.
Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you. Can you state what time Mike Biggs' show is? Cause I know the Sunday night lineup has changed quite a bit lately. And also, you said that you're going to do fundraising. Often on the fundraising, they repeat shows. However, they repeat shows, the same show over and over and over and over again, which is quite annoying to many people that I've spoken to that listen to KPFA. So if that cannot occur, that would be great. And, also with the music, with Mike Biggs saying he wanted to get out
Cheryl,
more music.
Me.
I'll do
Cheryl.
One more comment.
If they could utilize
Civic Center Park, that would be.
Cheryl, it's not a comment time. We will have time for comments, but right now is if you have a question.
No, that was a question.
Oh, please go ahead.
If you could utilize Civic Center Park for music and all the other things that I stated, thank you. And it would be nice to not interrupt me.
Carol, this is Christina. I'm unable to put my hand up. I tried to put it up right away, but for some reason it won't go up with Zoom. So could you note that my hand went up?
Yes. Okay. Go ahead. Christina, I'll call on you after. Anthony, did you have a question?
I need to answer.
I do, but let's let, Antonio answer Cheryl's questions first.
So I'll answer Cheryl's questions first. The first one is the Living in the Now is at 9 o'clock on Sundays. So that's when Mike Biggs' show goes on the air. The second question, which related to the fund drive, that's all going to be dependent on the development director and what we have with regards to resources. Unfortunately, we can't have somebody on the air every single hour pitching. So that's the challenge that we face at this point. So just know that that is something that we understand and know is a concern for a lot of folks. And we talk about that every time before going into fund drive. And then the last one for Civic Center Park, I don't know too much about it. I think the best thing to do is to connect with Mike Biggs and I, and then we can talk about that and see if that's a collaboration that we can do.
Thanks.
Can I just elaborate? Can't you just contact whoever you need to contact to see if it can.
Cheryl, you're not recognized by the chair to speak right now. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, Antonio. Two questions. I mean, I could have more, but I'll stick to music related issues. I think that this is something that probably everybody would like to know. What would it take? What would KPFA have to do to be rid of the 2-week time limit on music show archive access?
I don't think we could ever get rid of that, because if we leave it on the air, if we leave it online, then essentially we're distributing music and we're not supposed to be doing that, right? So all we can do is just stream it and make it so that it's not downloadable. Also, it has to be where, so just only 2 weeks. And then from there, we take it off, right?
Oh, and you said not, it has to be non-downloadable?
Non-downloadable, yeah. Oh, and if that's something that a music program, if there's a music program where that's showing up, we need to address it immediately. Mm-hmm. Also, any show that is not, well, any show that plays music longer than 30 seconds, we need to flag as a music program. Not that it is a music program, but then it cannot be available for more than 2 weeks. So if you're doing a public affairs show and you decide to play a full song, we got to flag that and then take it off. And then for in that instance, the programmers, if they want to have an archive, they need to go back and edit it out and then re-upload a file without that song.
Nice. I guess I need to study copyright more. Mm-hmm. My other question, I recall it's been quite a few years now, but there was once we had a Beatles weekend and some of the guest DJs were KPFA staff, but they weren't regular music programmers. So we had all sorts of people playing favorite Beatles or Beatles related tunes. Then sometime after that, we had a Stevie Wonder Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if things like that are in the offing.
Yeah, I've been talking to a lot of other folks have brought that up as other ideas to, I mean, those two that you brought up, I think Kevin Cartwright had helped push forward to make that happen. Me and Mike Biggs are in conversation about how to do more of that as we move forward. I think the position that we're in at this moment is, so the music department is almost 60% of our programming. There's a lot of folks that are helping us out with making the music department what it is. And a lot of them, all of them are pretty much volunteering their time to do this. The goal that we need to achieve coming up soon is how do we provide them with more support, more communication, so that we can all be on the same page of what we're going to do moving forward. And I would love for us to have those tribute days. But that means that it's going to be more organization. So in the next few months, my hope is to work with Mike Biggs more on that so that we can make that a reality and have those specials, throughout the year. Whatever artists, you know, I think that KPFA as a team could honor and do like a whole day long, special broadcast. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Virginia.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I liked that question and answer about the more organization. You know, for example, Dori Stein on KALW has a whole offline mix list, and you can look up the song. So, but it takes a lot of organization. Okay, I happen to get my main question. Oh, yeah, another question. One other thing to mention is that Davey D is not listed as a music show, and so you can't even get his stuff for 2 weeks, and that doesn't seem right, so I wish that could be changed. Or sometimes it's actually a interview show, and then it should be archived forever. I just think that's a problem about the Davey D show. And okay, I asked every young person I could think of, and I got a gigantic list of things that people liked, so should I just send that to Mike Biggs? And somebody suggested putting it on a spreadsheet by age. Would that help?
Yeah, that'd be very helpful. I think you can email him at music@kpfa.org. I know that on our website, it's listed for anyone who wants to submit music to the station, but I would send it there.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Allegra.
I think I just spaced out at like a crucial moment, and I remember receiving an email about how we should be, us music DJs should be promoting our social media presence. I thought I heard him say something about some kind of list, and I just am interested in getting on that. And I want to say that a number of times I've tried adding KPFA's Instagram account as a collaborator. Instagram is where I'm mostly doing socials, and I haven't gotten a response, and it kind of sucks because I'm trying to build an audience for that account without having that be my whole life. So anyway, how can I interact more with the KPFA socials, and is there actually a list that I can get on, and how?
Okay. So the person that's taken the lead on KPFA socials is the interim program director, Jose Gonzalez. Right now, I'll just say this, because there are other issues that we've been addressing this past year. Like, for example, I really worked on finalizing the development team. That's done this year. The engineering department is all set. They're very strong department. Both of those departments are very strong, and they're solving a lot of problems, which is great. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to actually just start focusing on the music department and the programming department. Now that those two are kind of like off on their own and have new leadership that is helping, you know, fix whatever issues they need to fix and shaping that department to what it needs to be, I can now start focusing on the programming department and the music department. What needs to happen is right now there's a bunch of folks doing things differently. And what we have to find out is how are we all going to do with the minimal amount of work possible, right? Because I don't want it to be a full-time job for anybody, or, you know, someone volunteering 20 hours a week to help promote the show. What can be very simple, but also very consistent throughout the station and easy to manage. And so right now it's going to be really me talking to Mike Biggs and Jose of what's going to be, how can we set it up for success for you as a music programmer? That being said, we're going to have to include you in the conversation because we don't know how you all help promote your show and which social media platform you use. And if you're using a social media platform that we're not using, how do we, you know, integrate with that? So we'll probably, my goal is to have some all staff meetings in next year, one in January and one in April. And so we're going to be inviting everyone to participate in those meetings. And then we'll talk about stuff like this, you know, promotion on social media, and then try to figure out a strategy where we all can work together and make it a success. And so I hope that helps you. And right now it's going to be, you're in a place of limbo, and it's going to be frustrating. And I apologize for that. But I think we're going to start moving forward in a way that's actually going to feel empowering to you. That's my hope. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed about that. But I think we can do it. So Allegra, I hope that that answered your question.
Good. Philip, did you have a question?
Yes. Would you repeat how many seconds a public affairs program can play one cut of music?
Okay. The general rule of thumb is no more than 30 seconds. Right. But that's not a hard and fast rule.
I hope so. No, that's very hard to, if you're doing a music break between segments, 30 seconds goes by very fast.
Okay. So I'm going to make it a little bit more difficult for you, Philip. Are you ready for this?
No.
Okay.
No.
So ideally, for public affairs programs that we want to be able to distribute without any issues, all content that is on your show, you need to get permission from any of the artists or any of the creators that you can use it. That's going to across the board. If it's being a song, any sound clips or whatnot, right? So that's going to be the part that's going to be a big hurdle, because a lot of folks are trying to put together a show as quickly as possible with the limited time that they have. And if they have a song, they want to play a song. But until you get permission from the artist, ideally, we don't even archive it realistically. So that's the, you know, it's, I would say, like, if you have friends who would be willing to give you music that you could play, that's a win-win for you, right? But if you have to play something from just from any artist, you really have to get permission from them, right? So that we're not there yet, but we have to start moving toward that direction where if you're doing a public affairs show, you have to get permission for all of the content that you're using in your show. And that's like, I don't want to think about it right now because it's too overwhelming. The first step is let's just start getting public affairs shows not to play music longer than a certain time, or start getting music that they have permission to use, right? And you have to have it in writing that you can use that song for your show. And remember, when you're working with a musician, it's not just getting it from the performers. You're going to have to get it. You might have to get it from the person who recorded the song because they have copyright to it. And you might have to get it also from the label. So it's not as simple as just getting yes from one person.
Antonio, thank you. I think maybe it'd be great to just write it up maybe and send it to people too.
We'll have a conversation about that with all staff.
Carol, this is Christina. I think you forgot me that I had my...
Go ahead, Christina. And then, you know, let's try and keep the questions really brief because we want to have time to introduce our music staff. So go ahead, Christina.
Yeah, I think that the diversity and the power of the music at KPFA is unique from any other radio station. And so I wanted to ask you a question about actually putting that out there in the community more as a marketing tool to let people know that we have music that you won't hear anywhere else on KPFA. In 2003, I think it was, I had some friends in my union local who worked for AT&T in Pleasanton, and I told them that one of the other contracts our local representative was KPFA. And this friend of mine from El Salvador told me, oh my God, I've been listening to the radio one day and I was scanning and I discovered this beautiful music I didn't hear anywhere else. I just fell in love with it. And that led me to listen to more programs. And now I listen to all kinds of stuff on there. So I just wondered if you thought of putting that out as one of the tools to really get out into the community. Like if you want to hear music that you can't hear anywhere else, check out KPFA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that we've been talking about with the managers and also with Mike. Also, I've kind of looked at the music department as, you know, we have individuals who may not be on the same wavelength with our public affairs programming, but would appreciate what we offer. I think a lot of folks that we would reach in that, of that type, we will probably reach through our music department, right? We kind of hook them in, hearing a song that they wouldn't hear any other place, introducing them to artists that they wouldn't otherwise know, especially artists that have more of a, a strong opinion on what's going on in the world, right? And then from there, they can start seeing what other programming we have. And I think realistically, that's how we would reach an audience that wouldn't necessarily just come to us for public affairs programming, right? But kind of get them into what we already do. We'll need to have more conversations about that and how to make that, how we can do that.
Great.
Carlos. Carlos, you're muted.
Yeah, thank you. This is a very quick suggestion. I've noticed that Amy Goodman plays music. She seems to play only music that is played at their studio. She keeps saying this was at our studio. And I think she does that precisely to avoid any legal issues, my guess. So I'm suggesting that maybe public affairs people at KPFA, you might want to contact Amy Goodman and see if she's willing to share that. Because I guess she might be willing to share, then you don't have to worry about copyright or anything like that.
Well, I'll just say the only problem with that is if the artist gave permission just for Democracy Now! To use it,
right.
They have to give us permission as well. I think... What I'm also working on is we've been doing more live music at the station. Joanna Manqueros of Music of the World has been doing it once a month. I know that Dead to the World does live music. I think Konsabor has been doing live music and, Jazzline has been doing live music. The hope is that we start doing more live music at the station. It would be great to be able to utilize that music as well. And, you know, it would also promote the artist. The other thing that we have to think about is that if they are doing a cover, they have to get permission to be able to do that cover, the performance rights to it. So ideally, they are producing their own music that they're giving us permission to use. So it's, you know, it just adds another layer to it. It's not as simple as just like, okay, they performed it here. It's a cover of a famous song. We can just use it. But, you know, right. That's something that I want to build at the station.
Thank you. Stan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, I realize the budget is extremely limited compared to the commercial stations and also compared to KQED, but do we have any budget for advertising? Give me an example of why I think it might be a good idea, even if it's only to create large posters that be postered up. I was in Modesto not too long ago, and I counted four in the downtown area, a billboard, and three posters of different stations, a country and western station, a Spanish language station, the local PBS affiliate, and sort of a pop rock station. And they were very colorful. Modesto, by the way, is within the KPFA range, one of our board candidates, Felipe Messina, that lives in Modesto. But aside, I'm not talking about necessarily promoting advertising in Modesto, but anywhere, because I think it'd be good to get the word out. And I worked with a lot of young activists in DSA, and only a few have even heard of KPFA. And I do my best to rectify that, but both for public affairs and for music programming, have you thought about any sort of, advertising?
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about that, amongst staff meetings, especially when we start talking about, the challenges with raising funds and what that means for the station. And a lot of staff have brought that up about how do we help promote, quote unquote, advertise the station, out there, on billboards and such. So that conversation has been happening. What I found is that because we're so understaffed, under resourced, it's a great idea, but we just don't have the time to put energy into it. That being said, now that the development department running the fund drives is kind of becoming this well-oiled machine that I'm really happy about, the development director came up to me about a month ago and said, I've been seeing these ads on BART for KEXP. I want to know what that's all about. So she ended up reaching out to BART to find out what KEXP has done. And so that conversation is starting to move forward. And, they're at the point where it looks like we're going to be moving toward that direction to have some ads on BART, right? So essentially what it is putting out the idea, giving me some time to kind of recuciate the departments to kind of figure, okay, how can we work better? And then once they start to work better, all of these ideas that people have proposed are now starting to happen, which is great, right? So, I just want to let you know that it's moving toward that direction.
So we do have a little bit of the budget for advertising. That's good.
We can make it happen. Yeah. As long as it's not something like $100,000, that's really not going to work for us because it's just out of our budget. But I think we can figure out a way.
Good. Richard Walensky. Richard, you had a question? Richard, you're muted. Sorry.
Oh, there we go. There are actual musicians at KPFA. And what would be nice if a couple of them came in and did some noodling around, just for future breaks between elements. I mean, on my show, I have a friend who just noodled around for about 20, 30 seconds on his guitar. And I use that as the breaks between various segments of my show. The other thing is that Matthew Montfort, who does the cover to cover, theme, actually gave us permission. The copyright is owned by Narada Records, and what he said to me is he said it would be great if they came after KPFA because Montfort hasn't been paid in years, and then he'd be able to contact them. A lot of these older recordings are by companies that are out of business, and it's possible we could, somebody could just look at it and see what's available, what copyrights are available.
Yeah, I guess what I would be concerned about is what if another record company buys that company out? Like, do they end up owning it? I mean, it just means that we would need to spend time to look into it, right? And there might be songs that are now open to the public that we don't know of.
Right.
But I think to better use our resources, I'd rather focus on recording people at the station, their own original music. I think that would be the best option for us, because then we know where it's coming from. I have been in conversation with the engineering team of wanting to do more live music, have people noodle around, especially during the week. And so that's, I'm going to say yes. I would love for that station. For our station, for the performance room to be used more for people to noodle around and be creative in there. I think it's kind of a shame that it's not being used as much as it could be. But right now I'm in the place where let me build it and then they will come, you know.
Okay. So. Anthony Bonet. Anthony, you're muted.
Yeah. Thank you. Now I had a suggestion. I don't know how feasible it is, but it would involve sort of a backdoor to our website or a door, another part of our website that isn't open to or obvious to the public, but would be used when you set up an interview. For example, you would be talking to your artist and you say, okay, I'm going to send you a link, and it's going to have, they can sign off, they can give permission, or they can upload tracks that we can use. You know, there could be that process of approving the music could be on that back door, if you know what I mean. It could have directions to the station, you know, protocols. It could say, we've scheduled an interview for 1 p.m. Saturday. Please show up 15 minutes early. Parking, you can park here and there, and, you know, those kinds of things. But also it could have that copyright information. You know, if you want us to play music, if you want it to stay part of the archive of this interview, we will need permission either from you or from the record company, whoever holds the copyright. And that can get that process started. It could, if you have a more robust sort of organization of the interview, then all this stuff can actually happen by the time the interview airs, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll say for that, I think it's a great idea. The website that we have right now, when people submit or post content, it goes into a media library that because we've had it for since Q started, there's too much there and it's hard to organize. So I think it's not really going to work for our current website. I was noodling with the idea of what if we did like a Google form, and haven't really committed to it yet, because whenever we change leadership, all of a sudden all that work gets lost. And then years later, we're trying to find documentation about something, and then we can't find it. We have to go through someone's old email. So we're trying to set up a system where it can all go in one place, and anyone who needs to see it can easily see it, right? It's smaller. It's not related to the music department, but right now I'm working with two members who are getting work experience at KPFA to be in charge of recording PSAs. And so I'm trying to figure out a strategy there where we can start getting all the documentation needed. And I think I'm going to use that as kind of our way of testing out how we can get multiple people to do one project, but keep all of the documents in one place that everyone can see and who needs to see it, like management. And so that we don't lose documentation, right? So that's something that I'm working with. And I think if we can expand that to the music department, that's my hope. We're gonna try it out for some smaller project and then expand it out stationwide.
Thank you, and thank you to everyone. I think we need to go on to the next part because we're behind schedule. So I'm gonna introduce some of our music producer hosts, and they're gonna tell a little bit about their show. And I also want to recognize that Kathy Pico, can you just say hello, Kathy? You have joined the meeting. Candace, can you recognize that Kathy is in the meeting?
Kathy Pico present.
Kathy, can you unmute, please? Okay, and now we're going to go on to our music presenters. Allegra Thompson, who is a member of our board, we'd love to hear about a little bit about you, your work with Pig in a Pen.
Yeah, hi. My name's Allegra Thompson, and my show, Pig in a Pen, you might not think it to look at me, but it's actually been on the air since 1974, I believe. And in late 2021, the original host, Ray Edlund, reached out to me and asked me if I would like to take over the show. I think originally the show was sort of supposed to be a bluegrass show, but Ray was basically playing the music that he liked, which included a lot of what's called old-time music or Appalachian old-time music, which is sort of one of the predecessors of bluegrass. That there are some differences that, I mean, we can't litigate the difference between old time and bluegrass right now. It's too complicated. But as I've taken over the show, I actually guest hosted Bluegrass Signal about once a month over on KALW for, I think, 5 years before that. As I've taken over Pig in a Pen, I really make an effort to present, a really as diverse music, I mean, not as diverse music as possible, but, very diverse music. I make sure that, women musicians are really well represented, musicians of color, especially Black musicians who in those genres, have been really sidelined and or silenced. And so that's something that I'm really committed to in my programming. And I've done some on air interviews, usually recorded either over Zoom or in my own home. And the show airs every other Sunday from 3 to 5, alternating with Tom Diamant's Panhandle Country. My next show will be this Sunday, but the next show after that, will be my 100th Pig in a Pen. I think that is everything that I wanted to say. Thank you.
Allegra, do you want to say a little bit about your, just connections with the community as a musician, just to help us understand how, you know, we can build connections with the community, more.
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's funny. Ray Edlund sought me out to take over Pig in a Pen. Actually, I think completely ignorant of my previous radio work. He was familiar with music I make. I'm a musician myself. And also the music of my parents, Eric and Susie Thompson, who have been active in the folk, bluegrass, old-time Cajun world, since for a very long time. My mom, Susie Thompson, was the founding director of the Berkeley Old-Time Music Convention, and I've helped a lot with that, running that program, and that involves connecting a lot with local musicians here and also with the broader music community. I just was raised around a lot of musicians come and stay at our house. I still live with my parents here in Berkeley, and we've had hundreds and hundreds of musicians traveling through, and I think the personal connection with musicians is really valuable, and networking helps you discover music that you wouldn't otherwise discover, and that's a lot of what I try to bring to the program is those sort of like deep, sort of like digging into the music and the history behind it, and also the connections that you might not know are there that you only learn about by personally connecting with those musicians.
Thank you so much. And next I want to introduce Chris Corey and Sabrina Jacobs from A Box of Toys, late at night, but we appreciate the variety. Go ahead, Chris and Sabrina, however you want to divide that up. Chris, you're muted. Asked to unmute. Chris, we can't hear you.
Sorry about that. I can't find my mute button. Am I
you're good. Audible? You're good.
Awesome. I'm not sure whether Sabrina's here or not.
I'm here.
Oh, cool. There you are. Awesome. So, Box of Toys, airs weekly from, 12 to 2 a.m. on Tuesday morning and, with curation by myself and the production assistants and editing by Sabrina. We put out over 400 hours of material so far, and there is literally an endless amount in front of us remaining to be done. The objective of the show is to pull material, from off the beaten path and put it up on the airwaves for KPFA listeners. The musical art product of A Box of Toys is about 99% discarded or ignored by the music industry. It's music that has very high artistic merit and very low commercial value. It's music that is either accidentally or intentionally inaccessible to the majority of music fans. Having a cassette only release is a good example. Having no major label support is another. Being lost in the sands of time is a third. And writing uncompromising material that breaks musical rules is a fourth. A Box of Toys builds programming from all these sources, from self-released material with little or no distribution to record labels which put out consistently great material but have no real access to American listeners, to artists that produce material that's unrecognizable or out of print. Uncategorizable, like by genre. And as curator of the program, I spend about 20 hours a week combing through lists of artists from Bandcamp, Spotify, YouTube, foreign websites, looking for novel material to add to the program. And this can be anything from emerging local talent to forgotten giants in regional music from across the globe. A good example would be our six-month journey into the music of Cairo, which yielded at least 10 two-hour shows in the last 2 years. This music that very few people in the United States ever hear, but it's available through A Box of Toys on KPFA airwaves to intrepid followers of our program. I'd like to think of A Box of Toys as a resource for music fanatics, people who get bored easily or enjoy musical eclecticism, people who are tired of being spoon-fed mainstream corporate music, who want to be surprised, astonished, or have their musical boundaries stretched, as we constantly do with our own listening. And people who are musically adventurous will like this show. We also like to intersperse the show with our little repartee between each other and background information on the artists, and in some cases, how we came across the artists, association with other artists on the show. We like to make musical connections to help draw people into the programming, make it more personal to the listener, and above all, music is fundamentally a social exchange, so it makes no sense to approach it as a snob, but as someone who truly loves it for that essential fact. Music's purpose is to build a bridge to a greater humanity. So that was my little spiel.
Thank you, Sabrina. Sabrina's former KPFA local station board member and PMV director, and nice to see you back on our screen, Sabrina.
Yeah, I was having a little PTSD moment, having to come back to an LSB meeting, but
pretty good, Sabrina.
A little too much. I was like, no. It's definitely been a journey, doing a Box of Toys. We've been on, we started right before, I think about a week before the pandemic hit. So, kind of squelched all of the efforts to reach out for a couple of years there. But, I just wanted to add, Chris, if you didn't mind me doing so, Chris has a lot more connection to the music community, via Sonoma County. than I do. So hopefully we'll be able to get more local music, through his connections. I do the technical production. I have no idea what the music is going to be until we actually go into record. So it's always a really, really pleasant surprise. I think if folks want to broaden their horizons and, listen to genreless music, a box of toys is definitely going to be your cup of tea. And, it is an amazing journey. Definitely been an amazing journey. Reaching into the brains of curator Chris Corey. that's his moniker on the show. So, when the curator gets busy, it's definitely an interesting time. So check it out, 12 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Tuesday mornings or Tuesday evenings, if you will. Box of toys could be your box of fun. Who knows? I don't know. Check it out.
Thank you, Sabrina. And Sabrina also plays a little music sometimes on A Rude Awakening on Fridays at 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, it's coming straight from a box of toys. I got access to that library there. It's like, let me find something interesting. And that's definitely a good time looking through that music. But check it out, folks.
We've been thinking of doing some live stuff too. So I'm encouraged to hear that there's a few programmers that are doing that already. That's great.
Yeah, I guess we would direct all of these questions to Biggs. Yeah, talk to Biggs about doing a live show. I don't know if that'd be possible since the show is at 12 a.m. I mean, we would have to get a tech crew in there. If that's possible, then, you know, I would definitely be down for it. I think it would be great.
Thank you. I want to also introduce Anthony Bonet. And Anthony has a new show, and he also, Anthony, I want to ask you if you could add on a little bit about, talk a little bit, Sherry Gendeman, who does Sunday Classics, asked for an excused absence today, and so she isn't able to be here, but Anthony, if you could also say something about Sunday Classics.
Sure. My name is Anthony Bonet, and I've been actually on KALX for 34 years. My air name on that station is Sex for Teens, and I specialize in everything. It's for me, it's about making connections that you wouldn't think of, and adding spices that are unusual, like little bits of comedy, old stuff, big band stuff, ancient folk stuff. I've been a music nerd my whole life. And that's the joy of it for me has been just the discovery of it, has been searching for something. And it's actually better when you don't find it and you keep looking. You find stuff next to it, stuff that reminds you of it, that takes you to it. And all those adjacencies are what I think makes a good set of music. So years ago, a listener challenged me to get from Django, can you get from Django Reinhardt to AC/DC with no noticeable jumps? And I said, okay, I'll take that challenge. it was fun, actually. You know, Django went to gypsy music and gypsy music went to, Irish jigs and reels, and Irish jigs and reels, as we all know, can take you to bluegrass really, really easily. Bluegrass went to Delta blues, and Delta blues is the blues, and blues will take you anywhere in the world, as we all know. And eventually, yeah, through the blues, I got to Led Zeppelin, of course, and Led Zeppelin took us to AC/DC, and there you go. You did it in, I think, about 35 minutes, you know. And that's the kind of stuff that I think excites interest, that listeners get into the journey of it, hence the title of the program, Calling All Seekers. Now with the Sunday Classic show, I always just looked at what Sherry was doing, because she's a hell of a programmer. She's just so knowledgeable and so, has such breadth. Can I say I'm a fan? So I always tried to use her aesthetic as a starting off point, but I think where I lean is more towards the modern. So, she does play modern also, but, I think I play probably more 21st century stuff. And, it's always with that in mind, with the through line. Like, this isn't that different than what Chopin was doing. So I feel like I've succeeded if I've made a point about a Mozart sonata, leading into something from the soundtrack to the film Chernobyl on HBO. There's a lot of commonality in the language of what we call classical music, but that's only because it's for lack of a better word. We don't have a better word than classical, right? Symphonic music, serious music, whatever that is. What I try to do is try to, again, make it fun, ground it in commonalities and make connections for people that I hadn't thought of that, but that does remind me of fill in the blank. And over these last, I think I've been doing it for a little over 4 years now. And over these last 4 years, I've sort of gotten these lovely emails from listeners saying, wow, I hadn't thought of Chopin and Indian music, right? It happens that I'm a musician also, so I listen to things like key signatures and time signatures and match things that way also. I like it so that if you can't tell where one song ends and the other begins. I feel like, especially at 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, I like it to be gentle and wake up and you don't know if you're still dreaming or if you've tuned into Sunday classics, right? So that's my goal. And I think slowly but surely you get people recognize that about a program. Box of Toys is genius work as far as I'm concerned and reminds me of the program that took me to Calyx, which is Information Overload on that show, on that station. Very like it. Just what's left? What, you know, here's music made by car horns. It can be beautiful, right? And certainly it's the kind of thing that just makes you go, whoa, I hadn't even thought of that. So industrial music, like some artists that are considered extreme, have a lot in common with Spike Jonze, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. That Spike Jonze was a maniac, you know. He didn't just want you hitting an anvil with a hammer. It had to be tuned to the right pitch, you know. It needs to be C sharp, that anvil. So find me an anvil that's C sharp, you know. And that kind of fanaticism appeals to the music nerd in me. And people like Brian Eno, again, going back to Calling All Seekers, I usually state a kind of a goal, and I usually take it from Bonnie, who, as everyone in this room, this virtual room, must know, is a goddess, Bonnie Simmons. Her programs, even just reading the list, I told Bonnie, I always react to her playlist. I feel like Salieri, you know, reading, oh my God, you know, and I hear the sets of music in my head and she puts them together in such a, I don't know, it's familiar and new and personal and universal. So Bon is a hero to me and always gives me something that, okay, here's the baton, take it till midnight. And so.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to need to stop there, Anthony, because we've got some others we want to hear from. Carlos Cohan, I just want to see if anybody is here from Con Sabor. Carlos, if not, Luis sent us something from Con Sabor, Luis Medina, and Carlos Cohan has offered to read it. Go ahead, Carlos.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to read a note from Luis Medina related to Con Sabor, so here we go. Luis Medina is the host and executive producer of Con Sabor, which airs every Saturday evening from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific time on KPFA. The following is a description of the program, our mission, and the communities that we have been serving since 1997. Emiliano Echeverria is the substitute host. His program, Radio Cuba Canta, Cuba Canta, that focuses on Cuban music from the early 1900s through the present day, is broadcast on the last Saturday night of each quarter, sitting in for Con Sabor, so it airs four times a year. Con Sabor features the best in Afro-Latin music, salsa, Latin jazz, Afro-Cuban, Afro-Caribbean music with fresh innovations and trends in these genres and more. The program also features in-depth interviews with major Latin music artists, local musicians who are making an impact, trendsetters, tastemakers, and community representatives, as well as features such as artist profiles, the community music calendar, music news, commentaries, and ticket giveaways on occasion. I have conducted interviews with icons and major influential artists such as Eddie Palmieri, Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, Hector Lavoe, Cachao, Pete Escobedo, Larry Harlow, Isaac Delgado, Chucho Valdez, Ismael Miranda, Juan Formel, Changuito, Oscar Hernandez of Spanish Harlem Orchestra, Joe Batán, John Dandy Rodriguez, Juan de Marcos, Ricardo Lembo, Herman Olivera, Pedrito Martinez, Joaquín Arteaga of Tromboranga, John Santos, Dr. John Calloway, Edgardo Cambón, Roger Glenn, and countless other great musicians, vocalists, producers, filmmakers, and influencers. The Con Sabor live sessions featuring recordings of live Afro-Latin music from the KPF studios that I have produced from 2016 to 2019 and was reactivated in 2025. The sessions have featured the Bay Area's best groups and talent, including Bululu, John Santos and Friends, Orchestra Borinquen, Mario Isutimbeco, Cabina Jazz Project, Orquesta Bembe, Fito Reynoso, Pellejo Seco, and Rumbache, to name a few. The Con Sabor time slot has served the Latin and music communities as well as the general public. The program has always participated in the station fund drives, a role that was one of my primary responsibilities during my tenure as music director from 2001 to 2014. I also served as a music consultant for the station from 2015 to 2018, specializing in partnerships with music venues, producers, and artists. These sponsorships increase the visibility and presence of the station to music audiences and communities through ticket giveaways and co-sponsorships of major concerts and events. I have also served as master of ceremonies and DJ for station events in the past. For more information on Con Sabor and my bio in radio, media, and music, please visit my website, www.luisemedina.com.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you so much. Yeah. If there are any other KPFA music staff in the meeting, can you please raise your hand? Oh, Tom, go ahead. Can you unmute and say something about your show?
Yeah, sure. I'll be brief because I alternate with Allegra Thompson. My show, Panhandle Country. First of all, I've been with KPFA since 1976. And everything that Allegra said about her show goes ditto for me. I'll add a little bit. I play some more types of music. I play country jazz or Western swing music that people dance to, some honky-tonk music, some Cajun music, and occasionally some related music that I'm particularly interested in. For instance, when the great accordionist from Texas, Flaco Jimenez, died very recently, I did a whole hour playing his music and being careful to include some of his musical adventures into country music so that my audience would sort of get to relate to Flaco's amazing accordion playing. The music scene in Northern California, I would say within a half an hour of KPFA, virtually every night, there is music that is played on my show or Allegra's show. There'll be a show at a club or a bar. There'll be a square dance. There'll be a house concert. There'll be an open jam that people can come and play music at a festival. The scene is as vibrant as I have seen it in all the years that I've been involved in music. I'm a musician too, and I go out and I play these places, and it's just amazing how many young people particularly are picking up this variety of music, either a singer-songwriter with a guitar or a band with a fiddle and a banjo or a steel guitar or somebody who's playing square dances. It's just really vibrant. And I want to say something that Christina said earlier in this meeting about promotion. Like I said, there are things happening almost every night, and I go to a lot of these. If I had a handout, a postcard, a flyer, something that said, that listed the KPFA music programs, because the music programming on KPFA, it's an astounding music station. You know, but we're not known as a music station. And I think people need to know that we're doing what we're doing. And if there was just some kind of way to hand things out, bands make postcards all the time. You go to these clubs, there's piles of stuff that you can pick up. So that's, you know, promotion, I think, is really important to do. I certainly support the local community. I have local musicians on the air live. Occasionally I do interviews, and I'm really happy that the local station board is holding this meeting about music. And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Thank you so much. That's great. Any other musicians, any other KPFA music producers or hosts in the meeting? I'm not seeing anybody. I want to take a minute. We're way behind schedule, but I want to just take a moment to recognize, some of our local musicians who have, we have programming today from, I think we have, some music selections from the community, and I want to introduce longtime, community musician, Hallie Hammer. And just, Hallie, can you introduce yourself for a moment, unmute, and just introduce yourself and say one or two sentences about your music. Go ahead and unmute, Hallie.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I've been playing a long time in the area here. I started out playing in the mid-80s at People's Park. I was at, I'm actually still working, doing an open mic, once a month at the Chess Club, which is for People's Park people. I played at the KPFA Lockout and the March that we had, 99. I've been writing a lot of music. I have CDs, but I've kind of given up on that. What I do now is I write songs and I put them on YouTube as videos. I do a lot of videos. And I'll be on Kevin Vance's show on KALW. He's interviewing me and my partner Randy Burge on the 22nd from 6 to 6:30. So we do have a connection with Kevin. I'm also involved with the San Francisco Folk Music Club. I'm the vice president and on the board. And we do a lot of, we have the El Cerrito Free Folk Festival, which was advertised on KPFA. Thank you to those who did. And, we have the San Francisco Folk Festival. There's a lot of information about the folk club at sffmc.org. If you want to find out, we have campouts, musical events, and these go on throughout the year, different things. So, and I'm also a founding member of Acupella with Betsy Rose, Bonnie Lockhart, Nancy Schimmel, and a couple of other people. And we do a lot of street actions, and we still are active at events like No King's Day.
Thank you so much, Hallie. A treasure of information. Mark Lemaire, I see you there. Can you introduce yourself for a moment and unmute, please?
I'm unmuted. Hi.
Good.
I've been listening and watching. My name's Mark Lemaire. I'm a guitarist and a vocalist. And I don't call myself a singer-songwriter because half of the stuff I do is instrumental guitar. And I'm also, as a trade, a recording engineer. So I've got lots of stuff that's on CD. As Hallie says, CDs don't sell anymore, but I'm still recording and putting out there as best I can. I want to give a shout out to Chris Corey and Anthony Bonet. Both of your shows sound really interesting to me, and it's possible that you might be interested in the material that I have. So I'm going to try to get involved with you offline. What can I say that's really interesting about me? My shit's different. Oh, my stuff is different from everybody else's. I've had many people come up to me and say, you don't play guitar like anybody. And that's because I haven't listened to anybody or learned any of their stuff in a long time. So it's unique, and I'd like to think that it's well-crafted and extremely heartfelt. And just wanted to give a shout-out to you and to Hallie, who invited me on, and just say I've been enjoying this podcast, this Zoom call, and checking out KPFA in a big way.
So, thank you for joining us. Any other community musicians in the Zoom meeting who would like to introduce themselves? I'm not seeing anybody. I want to acknowledge Fred Dodsworth. Can you say hello, Fred Dodsworth? And Kathy Pico have both joined the meeting.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late. I had two of my grandsons with me, and they're 6 and 9. That should be enough.
Glad to have you here, Fred.
I'm the KPFA LSB, and I'm also the PNB a representative, and I am also the chair of the National Finance Committee, and I really believe strongly in Pacifica all across the nation, all across the world. And it's really important that we keep Pacifica alive.
Thank you, Fred. Cheryl, did you have a point of order? We're ready to go into our breakout rooms. Cheryl. I see your hand.
I just was wanted to thank all the engineers and everyone that spoke. It's nice to hear from you. I love all the shows. I've heard them all. Listened to them all. Not regularly, but on Sundays I do, actually. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that. And I think this is the first and the best KPFA LSB board meeting I've ever been to. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Carlos, you had a comment or a point of order?
A very brief comment. I want to give a thanks and recognize Art Sato on his program In Your Ear, which is every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. because he does such a wonderful job and plays some jazz. He plays flamenco, and then he plays some tango. And I have to say, I'm from Argentina. Most of the tango you hear in commercial stations, if you ever hear any, is very stereotyped. Art Sato actually went to Buenos Aires, has researched the issue. He plays a lot of what we call modern tango that you almost never hear in the U.S. and is almost like a classical music tango in the last half hour from 5:30 to 6. So I want to just recognize Art for his work and tell him that I enjoy his program very much.
Hear, hear. Sato's the best.
Thank you, Carlos. Antonio.
I'm wondering if it's okay for everyone if I end up leaving the meeting a little bit early today. I'm actually here in Fresno. Today's going to be the KFCF banquet. And so I'm going to make my presence, I'm going to be present as a representative of KPFA here. And so I'm just curious if that's okay with folks. I know that we're going into breakout rooms right after.
Well, Antonio, before you go, I think that one of the things that's come up in this meeting was this idea to have, you know, cards or something. I think Tom said it. You know, something, we have bookmarks about, you know, with a QR code for KPFA, but it might be really nice to have a postcard that has information about KPFA music that we can distribute in different venues. I think there are a lot of places and we could help get the word out. And I know that, maybe, we could have something at, the Donkey and Goat events. So, maybe that's something we could be thinking of. And, so that, thank you, Antonio, for joining us. I am wondering rather because the last half an hour we wanted to leave for playing some of the music and that only gives us another 5 minutes. I'm wondering rather than go into breakout rooms, if people, especially people who have not spoken yet, would like to just share about KPFA music, what music you listen to, what you appreciate, if you have a suggestion, if you have ideas for outreach and making more connections with the community. So if it's okay,